Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Late Nights with the Midnight Bomber with Neutron Bomb and Captain B2. Pour it out thick like honey, bittersweet like molasses, seeking your proliferous journey to profit to the empathetic masses. Calling on cathartic release, expel your demons. If but for a moment increase, then cease them. Quell their influence, let them not commit treason. Whilst it is not a prerequisite, we do encourage you to join the Late Night Poets group on allpoetry.com. And the call-in number, if you would like to join in for the show, is 657-383-0024. How are you going tonight?
Doing great. How are you?
Fantastic. And Captain, would you like
yes,
to
ma'am.
Give us a brief summary of the contest for today?
Sure. We had a contest going called April's Fool, and it was the graphic art of M.C. Escher. I'm sure everybody had seen his art, but not everyone identifies the name with the art. And so Mauritius Cornelius Escher, he was a Dutch graphic artist. Surprisingly enough, if you look into his background, he did a lot of work with mathematics, reflections, symmetry, perspective. He worked with mathematicians, George Polya, Roger Penrose, crystallographers. So his art actually is very grounded in the sciences, which I found absolutely fascinating. And if you look at the attention to detail in his work, you can see it. But you also see this wonderful talent for being able to skew objects, morphing them from one direction to another, like the birds going, birds turning into fish, and fish turning into boats and staircases that defy the laws of gravity. they go nowhere. It's fascinating stuff. And I thought, we've got some really fertile minds out there. I thought, why not toss this into the mix and see what our poets came up with?
Fantastic. Thank you, Captain. And how are you today, Mika?
Oh, I'm doing all right. Was that convincing?
That wasn't very convincing.
Yes, let's try that one again.
Just fine and
not so personally.
Well, Derek Chauvin today was convicted on all three charges.
Yes.
So
oh,
that's
wow.
A win for
yes.
me.
Yes.
That's a big freaking win.
It's good to see the justice system actually administering justice.
For one.
Absolutely. And
I think that's been an issue, hasn't it?
Yeah, there have been some gross miscarriages, but you know that the system is what it is, and unfortunately it's run by people, and people are human, and humans have flaws. But it was nice to see it work as intended today. That was very encouraging.
Amen, Bobby.
Amen.
We have some callers.
That's exactly it.
We
oh,
do?
Do we?
No, really?
We do. We have the badass.
That could be the dream
tonight. We have Babbler and Aphasiana.
Hello. It's not going to be the three amigos tonight. We're going to have... Outstanding. Welcome, Babbler.
God.
Welcome, Faith.
Hey.
And Babbler, we've got you up first.
Outstanding. Ready to rock and roll with some kick-ass poetry.
Yep.
Should I just jump in?
Yeah, why not?
jump on in. The poetry's fine.
This is synchronicity. Pencil kisses paper. Stylus skates across the screen. Tracing lines pupils have caressed. Concentrated quietude, exploring new textures between index and thumb, crinkled in familiar landscapes, settling into valleys, hillocks worn with age. Curvatures painted steady, inked confidently, proficient flow spilling like fine wine. Graphite or pixel, flawed approximation, from hand to eye to brain to hand again, looping circle, exercise and adaptation, reality and imitation, each the truer art. The incongruent flesh, evolving appled eye, sinuous musculature dancing in synchronicity, consumed by the act, pouring from one to the other, teetering on the precipice of degradation, self-love shaping its reflection as time erodes both. End poem.
Great first read.
It was, wasn't it?
Thank you.
Bobby, outstanding. Did you want to make the first comment?
I absolutely do. I really, the first time I read this, I really enjoyed it. I love your interpretation of your selected prompt. I really found it quite intriguing where your imagination took you. Metaphors are quite complex. Skin folds between index and thumb, crinkled in familiar landscapes. Well said. Settling into valleys, hillocks worn with age. The likening the hand to landscape and geography, I thought that was very clever. Curvatures painted steady, inked confidently, proficient flows spilling like fine wine. And then you get a little bit more high-tech, you graphite or pixels, flawed approximation from hand to eye to brain to hand again. The way you tied that together, I thought was quite clever. I really enjoy, and the finish, sinuous musculature dancing in synchronicity, consumed by the act, pouring from one to the other, teetering on the precipice of degradation, self-love shaping its reflection as time erodes both. And showing how the hand drawing was unfinished. I thought the way you interpreted that, your selected prompt was spot on. Well done, girlfriend.
Thank you.
And Faziana, would you like to make the next comment?
Yes, I really loved it. The way that it captured that circle of the hand to eye to brain to hand again was great. And the exercise and adaptation, reality and imitation, each the truer art. I remember talking in media class about how art imitates life, but then life tends to imitate art. A lot of cultural things catch on because, you know, it becomes like a pop culture thing. You see someone do it on TV, it becomes like the trendy thing. Then because it's the thing that's happening in real life, it goes into more fictional stuff, and that makes it go into real life again. And it's like this circle of art imitating life and life imitating art. And it has like a big impact. So I thought that this captured that really beautifully.
Thank you.
And Mika, what did you think?
God damn it. Even as she was speaking, I was like, don't make me follow Faziana. Don't make me follow Faziana.
Too late. No turning back.
No, I was going to talk about that part, reality and imitation, each the truer art, and how much I love the wisdom with which you speak in poetry. Just the way that you put each truer art just speaks to that weird dichotomy that Faziana was bringing up. And also, I'm kind of off my game tonight, and I love this poem, but I can't give a comment that's worthy of it. But I would say that the ending stanza in its entirety is just gorgeous. Like, it's something that I would read with the kind of the reverent regard of as like a Bible verse that I find particularly beautiful. I just feel like the language itself and the way that you use it is incredible.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Mika, I agree entirely with you. I was actually doing my pre-commenting, and Babbler's produced a lot of material for our contest, and I find with this piece in particular that there was a romanticism to the language, or a reverence, as you put it. And it's less gritty than some of the other poetry that's been submitted previously, but an excellent answer to the prompt, and it handled it with that sensitivity. I personally find ekphrastic poetry difficult, but this flows seamlessly from one stanza to the next. And I was drawn to the last stanza as well. As time erodes both degradation and a reflection of self-love, and the idea of choreographed synchronization, and almost the pouring from one to another was like a child mimicking another person's mannerisms and words. And it pulled me into the poem and pulled the poem together. So I thought it was a really clever piece.
Well said. Yeah. Thank you.
And no worries. Thank you. Thank you for always managing to get something in. And it's you know what,
write.
It's always a quality write. We've just been
absolutely.
Really lucky with the shows that, especially this one, there's been some real quality writes in this attracted by this contest. So congratulations to all the poets. And next, Faziana, I will put you in the forum. One moment. I'll just make sure I'm putting it in the right section too. Won't be a moment. All right, when you're ready, Faziana.
Puddle Perspective by Faziana. In the murky woods of silent melancholy, tears pool, replacing prints of the past. In these puddles, we see that rock bottom that we believed we were lodged in is the window into fresh sky. Moonlit beams promise a world beyond. The rain we resented as it fell has revealed a beauty we missed, staring into the muck at our feet, forgetting to look up. In the murky woods of silent melancholy, there is a whisper of hope from the trees. Let the puddles of grief serve as reminders there were things worth loving. End poem.
Well read.
It was. I'm going to read my comment first for this one. So I actually really struggled to come up with a favorite part for this poem. It was very well done. I particularly liked how heartfelt and poignant and positive a spin on the prompt it was, and it was very creative. Well, I actually wrote something for this contest, and this was actually initially the image I was drawn to, but I couldn't come up with anything, so I was really impressed with the message of hope, and particularly in these lines. In these puddles, we see that rock bottom that we believed we were lodged in is a window into a fresh sky, moonlit blooms, promise a world beyond. I was saying to Faziana before the show that a friend had actually sent me a quote that reminded me of this poem and the message of hope, and it was, everything will be okay in the end, and if it's not okay, then it's not the end. And it was by John Lennon. So very inspiring.
Yeah, very apt.
Thank you.
And Mika, what did you think?
Oh, wow. How beautiful is your ending in this? The puddles of grief serve as reminders there were things worth loving. I think, you know, I don't know, that hit me right in the heart of, like, all of the grief that I carry and the people that I've lost. And it's beautifully uplifting at the same time. Like, it aches to read, but it's still uplifting. It doesn't lose its hopeful tone, even though it did make me catch my breath a little bit.
Thank you, Mika.
And Tim, what did you think?
I was struck at how these first two pieces selected prompts that no one else went to, and I was very glad for that. Because I know these two poets have very well, they're different. The styles are differing. Their gifts of seeing things are quite equal. And this particular piece, I was intrigued. I was hoping someone would seize on it and work with it. And I was glad you did it, Faziana. Thank you. And I like the fact that while your poetry tends to be on the darker side, this does have a ring of positivity to it, which I thought was quite interesting in the way you you saw the murky woods of silent melancholy, puddles we see rock bottom, yeah, still dark, but there's a window into a fresh sky, and moonlit blooms promise a world beyond. And again, staring into the muck at our feet, forgetting to look up. And I like the way you said it, because we've got footprints in this drawing. And the murky woods of silent melancholy is a whisper of hope from the trees, but the puddles of grief serve as reminders that there are things worth living or loving. I really like the up note that this ended on. And you could have taken this into a much darker realm. But I think what you did with what you saw is quite beautiful.
Thank you. I really, really love the image. I had to do
too.
Something for it. I stared at it for a long time because I'm like, I have to use this in some way.
Well, it's almost Japanese in its flavor.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Mm-hmm. And
well done,
Faziana. What do you
think?
Nepla, what did you think? Oh, I thought this was really beautiful and uplifting. You know, I like that it starts by talking about the tears pooling, you know, and that you see the sky in the tears. And then the second stanza is about how, you know, while it was raining or you were crying, you didn't enjoy it. Like, it didn't feel good. Like, it wasn't the moment of joy or epiphany, the act of creating the puddle. But you wouldn't see the sky above you if you hadn't done it. You know? And then the last stanza is just the reminder that, you know, if you're crying about losing something, that means that you're acknowledging in that moment that there is also or was something to appreciate. You know, a memory, because if you didn't love something, then you wouldn't feel lost. And then there are other things out there, and there are other things you haven't explored or seen that you can love. And that's what this poem makes me think of. I also really enjoy that the murky woods are silent melancholy, and the hope is a whisper. So you can just barely hear it in the silence because there isn't any other sound. I think it's a really pretty piece, and there's something both like melancholic and hopeful, and I think it's a nice mix of feeling. I think it's very well done.
Thank you.
All right, and next we have a sound recording by Lyric is Speaking.
Outstanding.
Did you find that one?
Oh, I am so sorry. That's all right. I will play that right now. Okay, here it goes.
Tonight, my read has a little bit of a mystery to the trickery, all bought into one, a dare hoax by Lyric is Speaking. A day made for jokes, for gestures to invoke, their fester of trickery or deception, possibly that of both. Through deceitful pleasures, their treasures stored of harmless jokes, fancying one's gullible side in disguise. Having you guess if the questionable stated is a test or a lie, hard merit of truth, or deception tool, to fooling you, a mystery leaves you to sleuth, chosen to believe or continue to be undeceived, April Fool's. End point.
Damn, Lyric is Speaking. You have such a strong voice. That was awesome. I'm going to make the first comment on this one. I think that Lyric is Speaking has captured that age-old duality between truth and illusion very well. I think as humans, we're very trusting, and those that would have you seem a fool play on that at will. Sometimes we do wish to remain deceived, as the alternative is far less rewarding. The rhyming structure was fun. The SoundCloud was awesome, and it worked really well with expressing the duality in Escher's artwork. My favorite part was having you guess if the question will state it is a test or a lie, a hard merit of truth or deception's tool to fool in you, a mystery it leaves you to sleuth. Very, very well done. And what did you think, Captain?
I really enjoyed this. I thought it was masterfully written. Her read is not so much a read as a performance. A lot of power in that delivery, and which bespeaks how many times we've all said, gee, we'd rather hear you read your own poetry because you know how you want it to sound. Well, this is a classic example of that. And I really like what her interpretation, what she did with her selected prompt. I thought it was quite clever how she took the double image illusion and parallel likened it to a to deceit, to jokes, to illusion, to being fooled, and I like the way she took the contest title and wove it into the end of the poem. I thought that was very clever.
Thanks, Captain. Great comment. And Mika, what did you think?
Oh, I don't know if she intended this, but I was really getting reminded of the kind of people who make jokes that are meant to anger. Maybe not meant to anger. Maybe that's the wrong way to say it. But the kind of people who would say something really offensive and then say, "Oh, just almost like they're testing the waters to see what the reaction would be."
Yeah.
And kind of calling them out and saying, you know, there's no, what they're doing is putting you in a position where you can't win. Either you acquiesce and agree to be, you know, subject to that kind of humor, even if it's not really a joke, is it? Or
it's not, it's derision.
You paint yourself out to be the fool. You paint yourself to be the fool by treating it seriously when they can immediately fall back on it. It's just a joke. And I was watching a documentary about, men's rights activists and MG Tao, men going their own way, and the way that they use that kind of humor to galvanize and to radicalize men into their way of thinking. So that, I think maybe I was just like already kind of thinking about that message, but yeah, that's what I got out of it.
No, you're absolutely right. That unfortunately, my mother used to play on that a lot. She'd torment me, and then she'd say, when she got she got tears or a reaction, she'd say, "Oh, I was just joking," or "I was just kidding," you know, and that's derision. That's torment and derision, and that's not funny. And I absolutely agree with you.
Thank you, Captain and Mika, and Babla, what did you think?
Liked it. I do think it does kind of toe on that line, you know, like at what point is the joke not a joke? You know, when does it go from being harmless to being hurtful? You know, an April Fool's joke is one thing, and a little playful deceit is one thing, but, you know, where you say something is a joke when there are undertones of truth to it that are hurtful, that's not a joke. Then, you know, I think my elementary school teacher always used to tell me, if the other person didn't find it funny, then it wasn't a joke.
Absolutely.
But this poem also makes me look at the art and think, you know, what kind of silly questions could you ask about this that would be like a piece of trickery, you know? Like, what color are the birds? Or what direction are the birds flying? You know, there's not really an answer. You know, like, it's a difficult question to answer. And so in that way, I get, like, the duplicity of the poem, you know, the joke of it.
you know, I think it plays with some serious things while also engaging in the lighthearted aspect as well. I think this is a really interesting poem that on the surface is about silliness and then has a deeper note of don't push it too far. So I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a great piece.
Great comment.
You know what? This actually reminds me of a story that my mother told me. I can't remember where it came from, but it was like an acquaintance. And their April Fool's joke was to tell their youngest sibling that they were adopted, but no one actually corrected him. And on his 18th birthday, he actually asked his parents to look for his real birth parents. Like, that's a perfect example of taking a joke too far. And being the saddest that they were, they still found it funny that he thought he was adopted. So it just goes to show, like, some people are saddest when it comes to their April Fool's jokes. And, it just reminded me of that. Ephesiana, what did you think?
I liked it. I was really impressed with the meter of it. Like, it flowed so perfectly. It was definitely a great performance, but you can tell in the way that it was read that it also is written with some really good meter. It had the perfect beat to it. I would definitely like to hear more audios from Lyrica speaking. I agree with what Babbler said about it being like kind of a mix of things, because yes, I do think it touches on that darkness that Mika was pointing out, the jokes that are not really jokes. But it also has a layer of a lighterness. And I think that that's appropriate with the art, because it does have that mix, where there are layers of meaning within the pictures. So it would make sense that a poem about it would have layers as well.
Well said.
Thank you, Ephesiana. And thank you, everyone. The comments tonight have been immensely great. So well done, everyone. That's like the early pat on the back by the teacher.
Hey, you got brilliant women here.
We do. Now, our next poem is by Earth Passion. And, Captain, if you could give this a read, it would be greatly appreciated.
I'd be glad to. Reality by Earth Passion. I live in this reality, that which I call my life, as though I watched a parody of happiness and strife. It is to laugh and is to cry while I stand by and find that I can gently drift and glide to other states of mind. The shifts that I experience in realms of changing moods by someone else's turbulence with thoughts or which I brood. Don't ask me if I'm happy. Please don't ask me if I'm sad. Perceptions of duality could make a man go mad. End poem.
Thank you, Captain. Great read. And thank you, Earth Passion, for the poem. And Ephesiana, would you like to start the comments for this poem?
I really enjoyed this. I like the contrast that it goes back and forth, the happiness and strife, to laughing and crying. I like the way that it describes it, and it's very brief, but it has like an impact, and it has nice rhythm to it too. It was a great read. I thought that the ending was part of the part that stuck out to me the most. Don't ask me if I'm happy. Please don't ask me if I'm sad. Perception of duality could make a man go mad. Sometimes when you're really not sure how you're feeling and you have all kinds of emotions trapped in, just having someone ask how you are and you're like, my mind was like, how do I even process this? I thought that was a fun ending.
Thank you, Ephesiana. And Babla, what did you think?
For me, this really struck a chord. You know, I'm pretty open about the fact that I have bipolar. But one of the things that I get is something called dissociative depression, where I look totally fine and normal on the outside, and I'm like behaving appropriately, smiling, laughing. Everything looks okay. But on the inside, I'm almost like watching my life happen while I am thinking, feeling completely other things that are dissociated with how I'm presenting. And it made me really think about that, you know, how, I'm just kind of watching myself be happy, but I'm not happy at the same time. But if you were to ask me how I'm feeling, I will probably just rather imperceivably, robotically tell you that I am happy. And that's what this made me think of. And there's this wry humor to this that I can relate to, that kind of sardonic, cynical feeling that I frequently get that you can inject humor into, where he talks about, you know, he watched a parody of happiness and strife. And that's just super relatable to me, you know, to be laughing and crying at the same time and to drift into other states of mind while presenting as one thing. And then that last twist of the knife of humor at the end, where it's the perceptions of duality can make a man go mad. Because it's a really interesting state. And so I realize I'm putting it through my eyes. That's maybe not how, you know, necessarily something that everyone has experienced. In fact, hopefully not everyone has experienced that. But it takes me right into that state of mind and how that feels. And it's an almost impossible thing to describe. And yet I think this actually describes that state of mind very well. So for me, this was very relatable. And a very interesting take on the art. So I was fascinated by this piece.
Thank you, Babla.
Great.
I actually had similar views on this poetry. I don't think I've really ever spoken about my struggles with mental health just through my poetry mainly, but I have schizoaffective, and with that comes some emotional dysregulation. So I could really relate to what you were saying there, Babla, and also Earth Passion. And especially that I live in this reality, that which I call my life, as though I watch a parody of happiness and strife. And also the part where you just picked up, Babla, the perception of duality could make a man go mad. To someone who is not afflicted by the kind of duality, especially of the mood, it is hard to understand sometimes the nuanced grays rather than the stark black and whites. And I think they've done really well at expressing that. They're very well done. And Captain, what did you think?
I really enjoyed this piece. I like the point of view on the interpretation of the prompt, the selected prompt, which is a really subtle piece with that skull reflected in the pupil of the eye. Very underplayed, very low key. But I like, again, like Babbler and Aphasiana said, I like the way it flits back and forth between serious and lighthearted. It has a tongue-in-cheek approach. It's almost like black humor with a little bit of lightness to go in. And the last stanza, this is a great brevity. It really is a very smooth rhyming scheme, nice cadence. Don't ask me if I'm happy. Please don't ask me if I'm sad. Perceptions of duality could make a man go mad. I really, really like that. The ending almost had a Dr. Seuss feel to it for me. But it also reminded me of how often we go through, and I, when I was working, this used to strike me every day. You see people, and you ask, how are you doing today? Or they'll ask you how you're doing, A, they won't wait for the answer because they don't care. It's rote. It just they say it without meaning it or feeling it. It's a checkbox. You know, they don't even it's boilerplate. Or if you ask someone else how they're doing, they'll say fine, and you know that's a bald-faced lie. And people will say they're fine, and they're really not. but it just sometimes if you ask someone how they are and you get the truth, you're like, wow, man, I'm sorry I asked. But you know, but if you don't care about the answer, then don't ask. But if you're going to ask, you have to be patient enough to listen to the answer. So, you know, if someone's going to laugh or cry, and I'm sure all of us have had points in our life where, you know, you just, it is a force of will to put one foot in front of the other. It's everything is just, you've got the weight of the world on your shoulders, and you're like, please don't ask me how I'm doing, because I'll erupt into tears. But people do that. It's just rote. They don't care. And I find that distressing, that we've become that dispassionate or that uncaring in our lives, that we ask people how they are and that we don't wait for the answer.
Very true, Captain. Very true. And I think we've got another poem further down the line that explores that thought process right there. So
sure.
With that, we'll move on to the next one. Wouldn't it be funny if it's the next poem? No, it's not. But, I'll give this one a read. It's by Theo Onik, and it's called Precious Gift. A prayer, you know, this precious gift, a prayer for the world to keep us safe. A prayer you danced, you sang, you'll forget only to remember how much all this meant. Pray you will know on this day we lived, the whole world keeping us healthy and safe. And pray you moved, moving hearts and bones, flesh and blood, in the name of what's right and a possible miracle. I pray you forgot, once with the fantasy you wrote, coming back one day to remember your flesh and blood, always a container, a four stars world, science cathedral, end poem.
Great read.
And thank you. And what did you think, Captain?
I found this piece interesting because this was I tagged this drawing onto the very end of the prompts, and I looked at it and I went, I wonder if anyone's going to bother with this one. And when it did come up, I was both surprised and pleased. But I like the way this breaks down a prayer, you know. A prayer you will know, a prayer you forgot, and it goes through this, and it, as a brevity, a prayer for the world to keep us all safe, a prayer you moved in the name of what's right and possible miracle, a prayer you forgot once the fantasy you wrote coming back one day to remember your this last stanza I think is absolutely fucking stunning. To remember your flesh and blood, always a container, a four stars world science cathedral. That is just superb. That expression of the corporeal being is just, I thought, was a marvelous assemblage there. Very well done, this whole piece.
Thanks, Captain. And Afrasiana, what did you think?
Well, Bobby just stole my part. I really loved that too, that part at the end. Your flesh and blood, always a container, a four stars world, science cathedral. Like, your body is this amazing science thing that's like, almost like worth worshiping, because it holds your spirit. There's something really interesting about the fact that it's just a container, but it's so like special. It's this beautiful cathedral. I thought that was a beautiful last stanza.
Thanks, Afrasiana. And Babla, what did you think?
I really enjoyed how this poem captured, like, the interconnected, winding complexity of this piece of art. Like, how everything is interwoven and impossible yeah. and yet possible, and that it's one is, like, the almost the flip side, but not quite the flip side of the other, like, mere reflections. And I think that's captured so well in the way that this poem is laid out, you know, like a prayer that you know, and you know, all the current hopes and the current thoughts, and then the prayer you will know, you know, where things are going to go, which are not entirely dissimilar, you know, they all involve, like, a physicality, like the dancing and hearts and bones and flesh and blood, and then, of course, this container, and also linked with, you know, desires and hope. But they're all linked together, and they all weave back and forth in on each other, even though there's the present, the future, and the past all woven in. And I think it's just a really remarkable reflection of the art, and I think it's just a fantastic interpretation.
Well said. Great comment.
I actually thought it was reminiscent of the situation we find ourselves in at the moment globally with the pandemic. In Australia, we're starting to learn to live with the minutiae of COVID that we have at the moment compared to the US, but we underwent lockdown, as I'm sure all of you have as well. And what resonated with me was a prayer you danced, you sang, you'll forget only to remember how much all this meant. And we talk and probably will continue to take things for granted. And like this passage suggests, you don't always know how good you have it till it's gone. A spiritual light that captures the prompt really well. And I do agree with you there, Babla, because if you look at the picture, it's like a inverse image between the left and the right quadrant. So your comment resonates really well. Yeah. So Mika, are you back with us as yet?
Yeah, I just got back. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Did you want me to pick you up on the next poem?
Or did you
want to make a comment?
I will make a brief comment on this one. I also want to let you know that Pam is with us.
Oh, yay!
Fantastic.
Hooray!
Hi, Neutron. Hi, Bobby. Hi, Mika.
Hi. Welcome, Pam. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely.
This really is a committee of bad bitches on the show.
There you go.
Badass poets.
That's awesome, Mika.
There you go. But, yeah, I did. I finished up a write for art for your topic, and so, you know, when you get a chance.
Fantastic. I'll get you up in
Thank
the next
you.
Couple of rides.
That's great.
And Mika, when you're ready, if you want to make the brief comment.
Yeah, I would. I feel like this poem very, very well personifies the breath of fresh air that comes when something happens that is truly right, just in the moment when you thought that everything is lost. Like in your darkest moment, when something happens that just answers your prayer and just barely, you know, saves you. It could be like in a physical sense, but I feel like it's more in a philosophical sense, and in that your hope is instead of being extinguished completely, which it was on the verge of being, it's brought back to life. Even if slight, it begins to grow again.
Great comment.
Thanks, Mika.
Thank you.
And Pam, actually, while Mika was commenting, I managed to get your poem up. So if you want to go next, you're more than welcome to.
Hey.
Oh, you're so nice. Thank you. All right. Well, this is a bit quirky because I felt like the artwork called for kind of some surrealistic quirkiness. And this is Muddy Tree Root Whispers, and it goes like this. The birds are crawling on the ground without a word to say. The toads are flying in the sky and sing like Doris Day. The reindeer all are rallying upon a sinking boat, kick their hoofs into the craft and blamed it on the goat. Muddy tree root whispers mauling apple seed mutations. The brazen truth within the suit is waiting at the station. Here comes the ladies of the court in dresses made of rubber hands, applauding rubbish reformation in the strung high marching band. Lunatics and lordly lampreys are leering in the water hole, confined within the crossing lines, the nits all know their roles. How lovely is this broken world where falls the summer leaf and all the living monuments catch windmills with their grief. The reckless turnip trails and claymation marriage beds, this nodding nation evermore throws tulips made of lead. End poem.
Great read.
Fantastic. Yeah. Captain, did you want to go first?
No, not really, but I will. You want to see, you always get it from me. No, I'm pleased to see that someone else selected that particular illustration, and I'm delighted that it was Pam. And Pam is up to her usual word dance here. Your metaphors are marvelous. This has got complexities in it that are just this is amazing. I really, really enjoyed this. The birds are crawling on the ground without a word to say. The toads are flying in the sky and sing like Doris Day. I love that. Of course, you realize, of course, that Doris Day, that's an obscure reference for so many people. But this is the almost Dr. Seussian approach or Lewis Carroll approach to your view of the illustration is just wonderful. It's here come the ladies of the court in dresses made of rubber hands, applauding rubbish reformation in the strung high rubber marching or in the strung high marching bands. The word play in this is so so lively, and it dances. And the cadence is melodic, and you've done your usual superb job on this. And this is a very fun piece, and I'm glad that as somber as some of the pieces were, this is a very wry, tongue-in-cheek, whimsical. But I like your tulips made of lead at the end.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed this piece. Really, really enjoyed it.
And Babla, what did you think?
I really like this as well. You know, there's something really fun and whimsical, and like Bobby said, Lewis Carroll-esque about this. But at the same time, there's a little bit of a dark undertone, you know, like the idea of lunatics and lordly lampreys leering into the waterhole confined with the crossing lines. You know, like they're both being reeled in. You know, like they're both stuck on a hook. Like there are some dark undertones to what's said in here, and I really enjoy it. I've been kind of perusing each stanza and kind of fishing out the meanings here, which is really kind of fun. I was attracted to the same stanza, the dresses made of rubber hands applauding rubbish reformation. You know, it's just, it's such a fantastic image because I work in food manufacturing, so everyone wears these blue rubber gloves all day long. And we go through so many of them, like unreal amounts of rubber gloves. I've thrown like 7 trash bags a day out of nothing but rubber gloves.
Oh, I believe it.
The concept of like a dress made out of like these blue nitrile gloves that would, of course, applaud as you walk in them because that don't flap around. It's such a wonderful image, and it's like it is rubbish reformation. Just the visuals throughout are just really fantastic. And there's humor in this, but there is also that dark undertone, which is especially punctuated by that last line, you know, a nodding nation evermore throws tulips made of lead, you know, something light and beautiful and fragile, yet made of like this really heavy and toxic metal, and it's just going to go thud in the soil.
Absolutely.
Again, just like a fantastic image, but there's a dark note. So I really enjoyed this. I thought it was an excellent piece.
Thank you, Beth.
Wonderful comment.
Thanks.
And Afasiana, what did you think?
I loved it. I loved all the funny parts that were pointed out, but the end really struck me as more serious, where falls the summer leaf. So to me, that seemed like maybe someone who died too early. The leaf falls before it should. It's just starting to bloom. And the living monuments catching windmills with their grief, to me, it's like the living monuments might be like politicians or like celebrities or like people who are like people look up to them, and they're catching windmills with their grief, where their grief is performative, and they're getting power from it, from that grief, over these perhaps deaths of like children. I don't know, maybe I just have a really dark mind, but, and then the that it's a nodding nation evermore throws tulips made of lead, and the lead, I kind of wonder if it's like bullets, and what's supposed to be beautiful ends up being death. It's quite dark, but there is a beautiful whimsy to the whole thing, and I like that combination, the dark whimsy.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Yeah, I actually purposely chose lead because of the fact that it could represent dark things like death, like bullets, and just being heavy in general and being toxic, as Babbler had mentioned. So, yeah, very cool.
Great wordplay.
Yeah, Pam, I don't know how much more I can add after these great comments you've had, but I did enjoy the darkness and the whimsical nature of the poem at the same time and the duality it had to it. For me, it feels like a ride of the times, just given today and today's events with George Floyd and the conviction. It touches on that illusion versus truth, especially in these lines here: muddy tree root whispers, mulling apple seed mutations, the brazen truth within the soot is waiting at the station. It's there. It's the truth there. It's still just waiting to be uncovered. That last stanza, and particularly this nodding nation evermore throws tulips made of lead, that was just sheer brilliance as far as I'm concerned. So very well done.
Thank you, Nutram.
Can I add something to my comment? I just realized in hearing people recite the lines, this reminds me of a Simon and Garfunkel song. The metaphors, the whimsy of woven into the darkness, the philosophical undertones. It just struck me that it reminds me of a Simon and Garfunkel song. I'm trying to think of the one that I was that popped in my head, but that's what it reminds me of.
Cool.
And Mika, what did you think?
Oh man, I really liked it. You know, Bobby was saying that at the beginning was like a Lewis Carroll or Dr. Seuss kind of feel. I agree with that. It was like a absurdist kind of, I thought, you know, that
not in a bad way, like this is absurd to read, but like almost like the world being turned topsy turvy. But then as
well,
other people
like,
pointed out, as the, go ahead.
Yeah, because absurdist is, I'm sorry, I was going to say absurdist is a particular kind of poetry, so I definitely didn't take that as an insult because it does exist as a form of poetry.
Yes. But I think that you twisted it. It wasn't necessarily an absurdist poem. You kind of started out that way with kind of this lighthearted whimsy in order to drive the more serious point home as it wound down towards the end. Because as the poem wound on, you realized that it wasn't whimsy and it wasn't funny either. It the grief is palpable. And then when you go back and read the beginning, I feel like it lends new weight to what you're saying there. And to me, this spoke of humans and their stewardship of the earth, the way that we are destroying the planet. Maybe I'm just in a political mood tonight, but I'm getting like political messages from a lot of these poems. So I apologize if this is off the mark, but the birds are calling on the ground without a word to say. The toads are flying in the sky and sing like Doris Day. The reindeer all are rallying around upon a sinking boat. The sinking boat to me is the earth. And then here, mulling appleseed mutations, the brazen truth within the soot. It's just speaking to me so much of like how the earth is crying out, and all of the animals are being pushed to their absolutely most desperate moment. And even in the end, when you say, how lovely is this broken world where falls the summer leaf shouldn't be falling. So what you're talking about there is the imbalance that's happening, and the way that everything is dying too quickly. The rubbish reformation, I like that as well, applauding the rubbish reformation, let's move our trash somewhere else. But really no problem is actually being solved, which is why the ladies of the court in their dresses made of rubber bands, all of their applause is empty and means nothing. It signifies no change. And then in the end, the tulips made of lead, I like what you were saying about the lead's toxicity, because, again, I feel like, that's exactly what it is. We're throwing our tulips, we're throwing our words, our claims that we support this and that, the environment, that we support endangered species or whatever posturing that we can do to look good. But all of our accolades, really they're made of lead, because they all we're doing is continuing to add more and more destruction.
I like that. Thank you. Thank you to all of you.
Jeez, that was some good comments, Sam, weren't they?
Very impressive.
And Mika, if you could cue Rob Cohen's SoundCloud, that would be greatly appreciated.
Absolutely.
Church through a glass darkly, trigger yawning. Landmines in the landfill of Eden. Adam labels his slave-built animals, designed in Eden, though in Eastern chop shops Cain and Abel work for minimum wages, and one went missing after a strike, or was it a slip? Red Big Brother is writing the scripts of the plots in a twist and rotten to the core, blaming hashtag all woman for his spineless fall. Painted black, Joseph gambled away sheep and land, now dressing in gothic black, with a neo-Nazi plaque hung from his prison gate, with skinhead and teardrop tattoos, and moonshine drank out of a plastic cup, a stench drifts out of his ransacked sack, used to relax his hiccup attacks. King most foul. David drives his Cadillac from Denmark to Dallas, to watch the bathing blonde bombshell sing, top down, stepping heavy on the gas, waving while passing decades of decadence, fanned by fallen slaves with hollow faces and a parade of skeletons risen from shallow graves. Watchmen cast their eyes on dice and dominoes, blind to murderous deeds while passing men begging on their knees, whispering bloody words from chapped chained lips as scoffs drown pleads of don't shoot, I've got kids to feed. Snooze the tombstone. Lazarus marked the rock, do not disturb, as the absurd circus of peacock narcissists and bloated buffaloes skip and frolic along, humming razor blade hopscotch songs. Down to the river, over the waterfall edge they fall, eels laugh static and sliver, hangman nets catch flies on the wall. Bipolar. Paul sought to ban all Greek salads, while turning his blind eye off the scales in fish shops, and with angry small man syndrome, his sore voice whispered in his head, Zeno is God and Steve is better off dead. So with coats at his feet, he turned the other cheek, while stones flew from glass towers until they sunk the deacon to his knees in a deep, deep sleep.
Wow. I just have to say, I just, don't you get this image of Rob sitting there smoking a cigarette while he's reading that?
Yes.
I swear I heard him take a drag halfway through that recording, but I love this poem. I love its satirical nature. I really think Rob is coming into his own as far as I'm concerned.
Oh my gosh,
and
yeah.
Like, he made a comment on allpoetry.com that the representation of biblical characters was merely by chance, and that made me laugh out loud. My favorite part was snooze the tombstone, Lazarus marked the rock, do not disturb, as the absurd surface of peacock narcissist and bloated buffalo skip and frolic along, humming razor blade hopscotch songs. Like, this is really hard-hitting stuff. It's gritty. The allusion to the biblical references with a modern-day lens is truly magnificent, and beyond that, it's clever. And for me, it's actually reminiscent of a Brothers Grimm tale with a modern edge. Like, not the kind that we watered down for the kids, but the brutal stuff. So I just thought it was really fucking clever. So, great piece. What did you think, Captain?
I thought it was fucking clever, too. Bloody brilliant. and the way he's got it, segmented is so clever. He's got four different stories going here, four or five. Well, he's got one, two, three, four. Yeah, he's got four stories going here, but they're all laced together. And he's got Adam designing animals in Eden, Eastern chop shops, people work for minimum wages. I mean, that is so wry. And painted black, Joseph gambled away his sheep and land, now dressed in gothic black. I mean, this is really some really gritty stuff. I mean, and moonshine drank out of a plastic cup. It is so deliciously irreverent. My favorite one, I think, is The King Most Foul. David drives his Cadillac from Denmark to Dallas to watch bathing blonde bombshell sing top down. This is passing creative skeletons risen from shallow graves. Watch men cast their eyes on dice and dominoes. This is that whole stanza there, that third one. Just really, really riveted for me. But it's got five stanzas. There we go. I agree with you, Bomber, that Lazarus marked the rock, do not disturb. I love it. It is gritty, but if you look at it, there is so much Sub Rosa humor in what he writes. That if you can't laugh at yourself, if you can't laugh at something like this, it's black, it's dark, but it's black humor, and it is for folks that didn't read, he's got this is all based on Prompt 10, which is I believe this really bizarre. I'm scrolling down to see if I can find it. It is There we go. It's called Infinite Dimensions, and it looks like this bottomless mine shaft with birds with human faces and lanterns hanging there, and you've got fish flying around and what looks like hanging from chains. So very abstract, but it looks just like it's infinite. And this is what he drew from that particular illustration. I just find that remarkable, absolutely remarkable. And you're right, he is coming into his own. And I was writing to him a couple of days ago and thanked him for starting to send SoundClouds. I said it was a real treat to hear his pieces read in his own voice. And he said he's going to be doing that more often.
Fantastic. That's a really good comment, Captain. And Mika, what did you think?
Oh, man, I really liked it. I like that he is such a sardonic, dark social commentator. Bobby,
yes.
You're right when you're saying how dark it is. It's also cool how well he weaves in this, like, biblical mythology into such potent modern social critique. That's what I have to say, is just that the way that he blends those biblical references in, and they're not out of place, they're not forced. Instead, they lend even more meaning in that sort of biting humor that he has to the message.
Outstanding comment. Great observation.
And Faziana, what did you think?
Well, I think Mika's right, and that he really does a great job at combining the social commentary of our time and then the biblical references, and he often has historical references, and he makes, like, parallels between things and connections that kind of show that humanity's been screwed up for a long time, and, you know, we still are. But it's like... the multiple eras of us being terrible. He definitely critiques society in humorous ways, but it there's always a seriousness to anything that he does. I was particularly touched by the part where, like, the watchmen are not watching the people that they're supposed to be watching. They're blind to murderous deeds. And then they're dangerous to those who are begging on their knees. It's frighteningly true in our time. And I really liked the end the hopscotch thing. Okay, humming razor blade hopscotch songs. So hopscotch songs should be like sweet, innocent things, but razor blade hopscotch songs, like, there's dangerous. In these things, the games we play are not harmless. There's an edge to them, and actually a lot of nursery rhymes and things are quite dark. Like, a lot of them are based on, like, the plague or like big, like, scary things of the past have started all the cute little things that we do now and don't even realize what we're referencing. So I'm curious about that, but that struck me, the razor blade hopscotch songs. I'm a big fan of Rob's. I really enjoy his poetry, and
yeah.
I agree. I'm glad he does SoundClouds.
Me too. But you gals are absolutely right. The social commentary is there, and it is so applicable to present-day events.
Thanks, Faziana, and thanks, Captain. And Babla, I'll get you a comment because I was just reticent that you're probably going to jet soon unless you've got a second wind.
Yeah, I got to head out soon, but I wanted to comment on this one and then I'll call it a night. I don't know, I really enjoyed this. For me, you know, just even the name Church Through a Glass Darkly made me think of, like, Philip K. Dick. And it's like this weird dystopian, almost Clockwork Orange twist on Bible tales. You know, it's like looking into an alternate universe with almost like a kaleidoscope of mess. Like, it's just so messed up, like, but comically dark. And there's so much commentary in here and wordplay and this almost interesting bouncing rhythm to it. That, again, it's just like it's very darkly twisted humorous, but it's almost like if the authors of Breaking Bad rewrote the Bible. I just found it very fascinating and very interesting. And so without, like, picking out sections, you know, that we've already kind of touched upon, because I think, you know, there isn't really anything in here that's slack. You know, there's no line where it's like, well, you didn't really need that one. Every line in here or every point in here has something to add. And so I thought this was an excellent piece and very fascinating. And I am sure it's not a secret that I'm a fan of, like, dark and gritty humor, which this is definitely on that note. So I just thought this was excellent. I wish you guys a good night and have an excellent rest of your show.
Thanks for joining us. Thank you for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Not a problem. All right, well, good night, guys.
Night. And Pam, finally, would you like to wrap up the comments for this poem?
Oh, my goodness. I'm not quite sure what to say. I mean, I absolutely agree with everybody. He's amazing with powerful imagery and metaphors, a nice balance of humor and raw, gritty darkness. And, you know, I like the way he makes those social commentaries and in a way that makes you think about, you know, the choices we make nowadays and the way we choose to show ourselves. So excellent write and very well done.
Thanks, Pam.
Very gifted poet.
He is. I'm just wondering, Pam, whether you could read the next poem, because I think your voice would lend quite well to it.
I sure can, and all right, am I going to have to sound like all, like, bitchy and like I'm on a tirade, or?
No, you just do you, girl.
All right, sounds good to me. All right, this is High Fish and Low Eyes in Multiple Dimensions by Ted Pilot, and it goes like this. Let us go to the wire wall of light, said the fisherman to the priest. All this chalkboard bread and tea for bent blind wanderers to feed. Hooks and lines sink into eyes. You caught keeps them polished dry. Lakeside libraries crushed to dust. Showrooms burn fluorescent nights. Desks are empty of books and pens, the priest thinly replied. Cameras and microphones magnetized, strung out light in that rope. We jumped hoops, crossing fireside skies to learn this trade. Crippled cities camp out on streets, hands held up, they wait. Spread across the woodland road, wolf traps lie with sugared teeth. The trees are filled with birdcage lynx, owls from wild bluebirds speak. Shadows stalk their frames in masked silence on the pitch-black ground. A tangled box and bookmark rode swiftly in on a wind blown above pound for pound. Stormed the west coast station, built a higher town. Burned the gold carved tower, a claim, a fallen crown. End poem. Well, that definitely had an Alice in Wonderland feel to it, didn't it?
Great read. Well, yes, you're right. And when I look down at his author's notes, it's because he's the only writer that actually combined three different prompts. He combined prompt three, which were the fish and the boats, and then prompt 10, which I think was the one that Rob used, which was, infinite dimensions. And then I think he went to to 20. Yeah. And that one was scrolling down. scrolling. That one is similar to prompt 10, and it's called High and Low, and it looks almost like a California, a Southern California architecture that is just skewed over and layered on itself, because it has palm trees and arches and what have you. So he's taken three and blended them, which couldn't have been easy.
No, I don't think it would have been easy, actually. Like, what I really love was the abstract nature of this piece, and yet there is strong imagery throughout, very cohesively written, like a stream of consciousness. My favorite part was actually the spread across the woodland road, wolf traps lie with sugared teeth. Like, the sugared teeth reminds me of a little Red Riding Hood getting her comeuppance. And the silence that he creates with the trees are filled with birdcage lynx, owls frown while bluebirds speak, shadows stalk their frames in masked silence, conjures and builds suspense as far as I'm concerned. And what did you think of Faziana?
I really liked it. Obviously, as a librarian, I cringed at Lakeside Libraries crushed to dust. I was like, no. I actually thought that which stanza is this? The second stanza is sort of about how remote schooling is working right now. Desks are empty of books and pens, but the cameras and microphones magnetize. So people are all doing their school on the computers, like through Zoom and whatnot. We jumped hoops crossing fireside skies. I kind of wonder if that's like the teachers trying to keep up and like having to change the way that they're doing things. They're jumping through the hoops to try to make this work, to learn their trade. Having to learn it all again in a different format and make it work with students who are very distracted and going through a hard time. And then crippled cities camp out on the streets. You know, I think of like the homeless camps, and right now a lot of people are unemployed, so there's extra of that going on. So this felt like a really serious write to me, actually.
Thanks, Faziana. That was a great comment. And Pam, what did you think?
I like this. I'm really starting to like Ted Pilot's writing, right? And it's been great that he's been giving rights to the shows. This is such another one that kind of balances that it's got this kind of dark, whimsy type to it, you know. But it's, you know, to me, the whole idea that we're destroying what we should be raising up. We're destroying the libraries while raising up the fluorescent nights. Making fluorescent nights seems to me like making everything fake. I also like the wolf trap lie with sugar teeth. That whole idea of, you know, keeping people silent by offering them a bit of a taffy to chew on. You know, just, and I like how it goes back and forth between, like, it doesn't rhyme all the way. It just has these little bits where it rhymes, and that kind of captures your attention. And I really like that. So excellent write and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And Mika, what did you think?
I really like this poem, and I was thinking that it really speaks to, I guess I would say, false hope that's used to sell kind of a false sense of security and lull us into complacency. Spread across the woodland road, wolf traps lie with sugared teeth. I really like that, wolf traps with sugared teeth. And also how clever his phrasing is in owls frown while bluebirds speak. The wisdom, I think, represented by the owl frowning and maybe a little concerned while the bluebirds speak unconcernedly, a bluebird, you know, signifying kind of hope and happiness.
like, wait a second, there's something missing. In the meantime, the shadows stalk the background, and everyone is being coached to ignore that that ominous presence.
Great comment, Mika. And Captain, would I be able to get you to read the next one? We're just we've got a bit of poetry to get through, so I'm
certainly
not going to limit comments, but just I'll move it along a bit.
oh no, you're the honcho. We have Unionized by Organic Chemistry by Way Down Upon Joy. Unionized in organic chemistry. Two silent heads drift, wound up space as atoms bounce about. They'll meet and greet again someplace beyond a realm of doubt. It's chemistry of molecules that binds their minds with time and art and that birthed in other schools, soulful and sublime. A bond of union seldom seen, and yet it's sensed quite real. Then spans the gap of in-between with visuals surreal. And poem.
Thank you, Captain. That was a great read. And thank you, Way Down Upon Joy, for the poem. Afasiana, would you like to start the comments for this poem?
I like this. I think that it really nicely goes with the image. And, you know, it's an image that's difficult to describe. Like, I feel like if I had to just, like, say it, what it is, I wouldn't even quite know how to do it the way that it's all wound up in those faces. But I think that this connects to it in that surreal kind of way, and the bond between these two people who are sort of tied together. It's all one ribbon there, and that they'll meet again someplace beyond a realm of doubt. I don't even quite know what to say, but I think that the connection with the chemistry and the molecules makes sense with the little bubbles in the image. It's very creative.
Thanks, Afasiana. And Mika, what did you think?
I'm sorry. I had to step away. Can you come back to me on the next one?
Certainly. Pam, would you like to make a comment?
Absolutely. This is beautiful. I always enjoy Way Down Upon Joy's rhyming poetry. It flows beautifully. And I like how this captures the essence of the picture, the idea of two people bonded together. I particularly like that second stanza with its chemistry of molecules, and then how it says, an art that's birthed in other schools, soulful and sublime. There's almost this essence to me of, within that stanza, of two people who are meant for each other, but they have to actually put work into the relationship. You know, just because you click chemistry-wise doesn't mean there isn't work to be done. Just a thoughtful write and beautifully written and very well done.
Great comment, Pam. And Captain, what did you think?
I really like this interpretation of the prompt. It looks like a cross between some kind of crazy Mobius and an apple peel, and with all the floating spheres around it, the chemistry of molecules that binds their minds with time. And that is a beautiful way of interpreting this. It's two silent heads drift wound up space as atoms bounce about. That's a great description right there. And the meet and greet someplace beyond the realm of doubt. It's taken the surreal, and it's kind of grounded it given us an interpretation that we can look at and nod our heads and go, yeah. But the last stanza, I think this brevity is great. The last stanza, it's a bond of union seldom seen, and yet it sense quite real, then spans the gap of in-between with visuals surreal. That is just beautifully done. I really enjoyed this brevity.
Thanks, Captain. And Aphasiana, I believe your reading voice is required next for this poem by Star BG, if you're up for it.
Sure. Yellowfin's Boat Invitation by Star BG. There was once a fish named Yellowfin. She gracefully bonded with the ocean waves. Its big eye saw across mountainous waves, and she carried great wisdom. Yellowfin came up from the depths of sea every once in a while to feel the gentle breeze and sunshine. Whenever swimming, she always made a point to send out love whenever needed. The fish was unique. Titi's jaw could expand at any time. One day, Yellowfin came across a ship. After reading the mind of the person on board to learn they wanted to experience the world under the sea, she granted their wish. The fish opened its mouth and swallowed the boat in order to safely bring it to her home. It knew they would be safe until they could eat a magic bubble that would allow them to breathe underwater. Down Yellowfin went, passing rainbow bubbles on the way. Soon it reached a dome city. The passenger gladly took the magic bubble. It tickled his throat and made him smile. The man was flabbergasted. Yellow, green, and purple fish, never before seen, danced. Plants vibrated music, and old ships, elegantly decorated, were used as housing. The dome was made from cut glass, and everything became a movable menagerie of shapes and colors. Since the man didn't have fish eyes, it looked like many objects were repeated in elegant style, and yet time just melted away. Before boat returned to the surface, Yellowfin imparted some fish wisdom. She said, "Glide in your life, in your heart, and allow the creative magic to flow. You have amazing gifts meant to be shared with the world." Gulp, gulp. The passenger on boat promised to follow Yellowfin's advice. His name was M.C. Escher, and he became a grand artist. End poem.
Thanks, Aphasiana. That was a really good reading, and thank you, Star BG, for the poem story. And Captain, would you like to go first this time?
Sure. She was in doubt as to whether Star BG was in doubt as to whether she should submit this or not. And she said, "Well, it's over 300 words." I said, "I don't care. I'm the host. Submit it." But she said, "It's not really a poem." She says, "The story." I said, "Please." I said, "This is the point. Just submit, you know, what you see here." And I'm very glad that she decided to, because we've got a wonderful story here that's almost like a children's book. And I like I like the contrast this against everything else we've read this evening. This is just a departure from some of the other poetry, but it's still is a wonderful storytelling and great language and very well done.
Thanks, Captain. And Mika, what did you think?
Well, we had a lot of these kind of whimsical rites. I really like, we've had some of the whimsy kind of tempered by a serious message, and so they've walked that balance. But here it's kind of nice to read something that's refreshing, to read something that's honestly just like a fable. It was really well done.
Yeah, I agree with that. I really like the sage wisdom with the message that the fish provided. Glide in your life, in your heart, and allow the creative magic to flow. You have amazing gifts meant to be shared with the world. And I think it would be a great way to introduce children to art. And also a reminder to always respect the inner child for adults alike. So very well done. And what did you think, Pam?
I enjoyed this. I like what you had to say, Nutra, about how it'd be a great way to introduce children to art. And I like how it's a whimsical tale, almost very surreal. And then at the end, it becomes a tribute to M.C. Escher and his grand art. Great storytelling. I really liked Down Yellowfin Went, Passing Rainbow Bubbles on the Waves, and it reached a dome city.
And the use of the word flabbergasted, that's always a fun word to use. It's a great write all the way through and very well done.
Thanks, Pam. That was a great comment. And Mika, if you are available, would you be able to read the next poem by LG?
Absolutely. Okay. Zeitgeist. A sense of dictum draws raw eyes direction, incites rash inkling to flush the fish from forest realm, or sight uproots the trees and twist shapes into Chinese sands as kingfisher leads heads to honcho's helm. A topsy-turvy totality turns vision upside down, the changing times as autumn leaves do overwhelm. End poem.
Thank you, Mika. That was a great read. And thank you to the author, LG. I'll go first on this one. I thought it was a really strong first stanza. A sense of dictum draws raw eyes direction, incites rash inkling to flush the fish from forest realm. It reads so cohesively from one stanza to the next, and the ekphrasis is superb. Too bad I can't speak at the moment. I had to actually check twice whether this was an Escher artwork, as it is a complete departure from the geometric artworks I have seen. And I believe the author's done it justice. So I'm not sure if this one was actually in the contest, but I approached LG for this poem because I thought it would be a great write for the contest. What did you think, Captain?
I'm glad you did approach it because it is not an Escher piece, but it's certainly fitting with the rest of the double image illustrations that we get treated to. And I think the interpretation of the artwork is spot on. I mean, it's just to flush the fish from forest realm. It looks like the fish is almost swimming among the trees, because you don't see the tops of the trees, you only see the reflections of the trees, which I think is a very clever way of depicting them as a sight uproots trees and twists shapes into Chinese fans, topsy-turvy totality. That is a beautiful description and great alliteration. So I think this is a great contribution to this evening's poetry.
And Faziana, what did you think? Faziana, are you still with us? Let me just check the board.
I am so sorry. I just realized she did drop.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I just read that as you said it. Mika, would you like to let us know what you thought?
Yeah, this is a cool poem. The way that it described the picture, like if I hadn't seen the picture, I wouldn't realize exactly what was being referenced. But, you know, reading it and then looking at the shapes of the trees, especially in the second stanza, twist shapes into Chinese fans, I really like that that image and how well it paired with the picture.
Thanks, Mika. And I will bring up the next poem. And while I do that, Pam, would you like to let me know what you thought?
I really enjoy LG's poetry. This is beautifully written. Now, that piece of artwork is in your contest, so it must be an Escher artwork. I really like the Chinese fans and kingfisher like leads heads to honcho's helm. That's just really interesting and intriguing. So beautifully written and very well done.
And I'll give the next one a read as soon as I manage to put it in the right place. Won't be a moment. All right, so this one's by Vicky Moore. And it's
you're right, Pam. There it is. Pam's right. It's in there. It's called Three Worlds.
Awesome.
Sorry,
so this
I didn't mean
song by Vicky Moore. That's all right. Is by Vicky Moore, and it's called Modern Society. And this is the one I was telling you about earlier, Captain. So it goes, are you up or are you down? Is this up or upside down? I only see what I can see. I see just what it means to me. A maze of people everywhere, a maze of doors and mixed up stairs, people walking aimlessly who only see what they can see. No one looking at the others, even if they are their brothers, all pretending they are strangers. They don't look for fear of danger. Each person on their trail alone, up and down these steps of stone, each one going his own way, each one having naught to say. Passing by without a word in a world that's so absurd, this endless loop they walk alone with no one there to call their own. I think that I will break a wall and rescue those this place enthralls. I need to make them all aware that other people too are there. Society says to stay apart and never share what's in your heart, even though your soul is lost for safety, that is just the cost. People, please look and see. Do not run. Do not flee. We must gather as a whole or fall into a rabbit hole. End poem. And what did you think, Mika? Mika, are you on mute by chance?
Yes, I was. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Oh, my God. I don't know. I think this is just particularly, let me start over my comment. I got to think of what I said first. I think this is particularly on point with what's going on today and the tribalism that we're experiencing in the U.S. Society says to stay apart and never share what's in your heart. Even though your soul is lost for safety, that is just the cost. And I think that safety is, you know, exposing yourself to someone who might think differently than you. You know, the vulnerability of being authentic, even when you face maybe anger or retaliation for it. And I like the message of, you know, push through that, push through the fear of that, and, you know, find a way to gather as a whole, you know, to find commonalities. And avoid this polarization, avoid the tribalism.
Great comment, Mika. And Pam, what did you think?
I really enjoyed this. It flowed nicely. I just, you know, I like how, once again, you have something that's kind of quirky, and yet there is that kind of darkness to it. You know, I like how here's somebody who has a righteous anger building up. You know, they're looking at society and they're looking at how each person is walking a trail alone, and they've built these walls up around themselves, and they want to break down those walls. They want people to connect and share their hearts. So just an excellent, clever write all the way through, and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Captain, what did you think?
I think we've had some outstanding comments on this piece. It's very complex. It has a lot of social commentary. While I noticed she didn't pick a prompt from the contest, it seems to suggest prompt one, which is relativity, which you've got all these different levels that are not meshing. You've got people passing one another. They're all faceless, and they all seem to be going in different directions. And her piece certainly suggests that each person on their trail alone, up and down these steps of stone, each one going his own way, each one having naught to say, which is, that is a description to a T of prompt one. So I think this is, if she didn't, use that process. She has described it beautifully. But the piece itself, I think, has a lot of significant social commentary, and it's a deeply philosophical piece, speaking to the situations today and the way we certainly don't we don't associate with one another as much as we ought to, and almost because no one's going out anymore, no one's seeing anyone anymore.
Very true, Captain. You know what? That's actually spin out, because when I was doing my pre-commenting, I thought that the beginning of the poem actually reminded me of Albert Einstein's theory of special relativity. So that's actually good to know. So for anyone, I did a quick brush up on whether it was general or special relativity, and it is special. It says that time slows down or speeds up depending on how fast you move relative to something else. So, just an example, if you were approaching the speed of light, a person inside the spaceship would age much slower than his twin at home. Above and beyond that, the social connection and community message that is picked up in this piece resonates with me. I think a lot of people are isolated at the moment, and it is hard to ask for help, and especially with everyone focused on their own swim lane. So passing by without a word in a world that's so absurd, this endless loop they walk alone with no one there to call their own, was very poignant. And with that, we'll move on to the next poem, and I'll just bring that up next. And Captain, if you would give this one a read, that would be great.
Certainly, certainly. I like your comment about the swim lanes. That is very true. We with all the isolation we've had, so I think very, very appropriate comment. Testament by Poempo. There are small fingerprints along the edge of the tape measure, the only testament to the 8 cartons stacked along the ribs of her front porch. The plants growing quietly along tepid glass, fueled by reinforced water, water that has seen many an eggshell. If fish were not so venerated, she would still lovingly peel back the tin each time, still dance with chopsticks, just with more rice, more than none. Little nudges, the size of mandarin oranges, race along her back, reminding freckled skin of abandoned love letters, and twine for birdhouses that ended up just resting on potted plants, escorted forcefully to the earth by shattered ceramic. There isn't much hope for the collections of this one. Endless tetrahedron of hunger, hunger for status, hunger for affection, hunger for worship, hunger for food. Little fractals of her peace of mind contend with the binary visions she celebrates in moments of clarity. If only we wanted a partial you, then you would be perfect. End poem.
Thanks, Captain. That was a great read. And thank you, Poempo, for the poem. And Pam, would you like to start the comments on this poem?
Yeah, absolutely. This is beautiful. I'm diving into this intriguing imagery. See, the plants grow quietly along tepid glass fueled by reinforced water that has seen many an eggshell. I like how automatically when they bring in the eggshell, the idea of nature, that kind of circle of life type thing. And little nudges the size of mandarin oranges race along for back, reminding freckled skin of abandoning love letters. I like that this has a very kind of a feel of Oriental poetry within the imagery and the stark sense of emotion. And yet it's not as brief. Of course, I don't know all forms of Oriental poetry, but a lot of times it seems to be very concise, and this is concise too, but in a more I don't know what the right word is, epic way. I like entwine for birdhouses that end up just resting on potted plants. That's a great line because of the fact that it makes me think about how oftentimes we have good intentions and then our good intentions get put off to the side of the road. And, you know, just a wonderful thought-provoking write all the way through, and very well done.
Thanks, Pam. That was a great comment. And, Mika, what do you think? Hello?
I'm here. I'm not sure I understand this poem.
look at poem 14.
Okay.
If you read the author note, it kind of gives a spoiler alert. I just saw that then.
Plus the introductory quote, I said, "We adore chaos because we love to produce order." And that is a quote by M.C. Escher.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I wish I had read the part about the body dysmorphia before I became confused, because going back and rereading it with that lens is so making sense. Little nudges the size of mandarin oranges race along her back. Wow, that one is, I don't know, that it just lends that line a lot of power. That kind of eating disorder, almost sense of control, just the size of mandarin oranges, those obsessions, those compulsions, is really well done.
Thanks, Mika. I'll just add to that, just after reading that body dysmorphia, she refers to diet culture as well. And I was just drawn to the little fractals of her peace of mind contend with the binary vision she celebrates in moments of clarity. If only we wanted a partial you, then you would be perfect. So it kind of fits in with the Escher image that she selected, where everything's chaotically broken and all partially there. But then if you look at the diet culture, you focus on the focus on that rather than healthy living, and that's problematic, or attaching good or bad connotations on food rather than focusing on balance isn't necessarily the answer, especially when you think that eating disorders are affecting people at much younger ages at the moment. And I think just in general, the age bracket seems to be on a downward trend. I don't know, it kind of points to those impossible ideals, or at the very least, unhealthy ideals. They may be possible for some, but they're certainly going to take an effect on your health. And what did you think, Bobby?
I think this is a very complex piece, and I'm glad you put the spoiler author's note at the bottom, because she's included a lot of factors into this piece, and if you look at prompt 14, you can see the nucleus of a lot of it, because it talks about, you see eggshells and broken glass and twine, disassociated pieces of things, crumpled newspaper, and a fish tin, a sardine tin. But then she's included other complexities of society in there with the body dysmorphia and the diet culture and other things that sound of a more personal nature. So this actually might be a much more personal right than is first realized. And I think that you were right, that the tip-off is the last line. If only we wanted a partial you, then you would be perfect.
Very true. Pam, what did you think? Please tell me.
I already commented on this, but I'm glad you called on me. Because, man, I feel so foolish missing that A-N, and I just totally, you know, sometimes with abstract poetry, we all just have our own different ways of going. But I did have to say kudos to you on your comment, Neutron, because you're right. It's, you know, young ladies and young men are becoming younger and younger, and when they start to feel like they need to control their body, you know, and it's sad. Yeah.
It is. I just remember my time in private hospital and basically eating alongside the eating disorder clinic, and like the, it's just horrible them having to sit there and just stare at their plate or pick at a piece of lettuce and, you know, or the opposite if you have issues with binging, but it's all about control and you're exactly right there. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Look, because we've only got 5 minutes left, I'm going to chuck my poem on the board because it doesn't matter if we get timed out on my poem, but I don't want that to happen with someone else's. So any poems that haven't been read today will get read in 2 weeks' time with our other art show. And I'll just pop this in the forum now. Won't be a moment.
What a woman.
All right, so this one I wrote to probably the most popular prompt it turned out to be for the contest, and it's called Fake It Till You Make It. A seer panhandles fate in bite-sized portions, peering into tea leaves, seeking metaphysical patterns, reading lines on the palm of my calloused hands. You will live a long life. Thwarted by an illness of the brain, undetectable misfiring pulses saw that line expunged, the body wrapped and shook with lithium. Crawling back from the depths, fingernails bleeding to carve a life worth living. Scales imprinted with an aluminium bottle top, tools in hand whittling clay into staked kiln-dried snakes. They ceased to slither perpetually through the recesses of my ganglia like an Ouroboros. The tail caught between two piercing hollow fangs, but I am immune to the poisonous bite inflicted to conjure a reflex reaction. And foam. And who wants to go first?
I liked it. I liked it. I think this is it's complex, but it's in a straightforward way. Does that make sense? But I like the way you interpreted the prompt. Very interesting, and it almost sounds like a very personal write.
Yeah, it was. It was.
That flavor.
Yeah.
But great language, great vocabulary. And how many people do know what an Ouroboros is? Ouroboros.
You know what? Mika is going to laugh at this, but I know what an Ouroboros is from The Neverending Story. That's where I first learned about an Ouroboros. So with
yeah.
that, I'll get Mika to comment next. Mika, did you want to make a comment?
Yes, I would love to comment. Look, first of all, I just want to say that to describe in such a harrowing and man, words are failing me, but just in a way that's so easy to feel this kind of internal struggle that is life with mental illness. Sorry, I've lost my AirPods, so I'm on speaker, but I think is almost impossible, something that you strive for, but it's so hard to put something like this into words, and yet you've done that. And just from the very beginning, a seer panhandles fate in bite-sized portions, peering into the tea leaves, seeking metaphysical patterns, reading lines on the palm of my calloused hands. Oh my God, that could be the beginning of a fantasy novel, but it's not, because it's the beginning of reality. Like looking into the Lewis Carroll's The Looking Glass, it's all true to real life, no matter how distorted it seems. Looking at that reflection. I don't know. I thought it was beautiful and it just really something inspiring, something to strive for in writing, the way that you've captured this.
Wow, thanks, Mika.
Well,
and Pam, did you want to make a quick comment? I'm not sure if we're going to get timed out. I'm not sure.
Yeah, this is just powerful. It's hard-hitting. The imagery is emotive, and the use of that inner struggle with the body rack and shook with lithium and crawling back from the depths, fingernails bleeding to carry a life worth living. You know, some of sometimes the most difficult thing in the world to do is go on with life and move forward. It's just absolutely a wonderful life and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And
thanks for writing this,
Adrian. Yeah. No, that's all right. You know what? It was a total roller coaster, this contest. We had 12, then we had 15, then we had 14, then we had 18 with the right. So I just thought it would be useful to have one extra up our sleeve if we need it. And then, of course, we go over. So. Oh, well. It was lovely hanging with all of you ladies tonight. So we had Babla, Faziana, Pam, Mika, Bobby, and myself. So it was the bad bitches night. So I was very impressed with that, with the turnout. So thank you very much, everyone.
Absolutely. Great show, girlfriend. Great show. Thanks, everyone.
All right,
beautiful
ladies.
Show. Beautiful prompts, guys.
Thank you. Good night.
That one's all down to Captain. Good night.